The New Testament reading comes out of the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am still a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. This week, I've held this simple picture on my desk. It's a frame from Walmart, not worth very much. And in this picture is a Christmas pageant from my very first church over 25 years ago. And it was a different kind of Christmas pageant. I would read the stories, and then the kids would come up as the characters, the parts of the stories that they decided to dress like. We wanted to make sure there was a variety, so in Sunday school, we studied the Luke passage and the Matthew passage. And so on Christmas Eve, when I read the story, I was relieved to have a Joseph come up when I read that part. But I was caught off guard when there were six Marys. That was half of the children, and one of the Marys was a little boy. Now, I can't blame them for choosing Mary. There's something about her that just draws people to her. And even the children got that. Our Eastern sisters and brothers in faith, when they talk about Mary, they call her Theotokos, God-bearer, the one that bears God's presence into the world. Our Catholic brothers and sisters, they speak about Mary with a certain love because of her humanness and her divineness mixed together, that she is one they can pray to and can intercede on behalf of them to God, kind of like someone who understands their human condition. I wonder if you know that within the Islamic tradition, Mary is held in high esteem. She's mentioned 34 times in the Quran. She is considered one of the perfect women of faith because of the strength of her faith and because of her obedience to God's calling, to God's will. Now, we Protestants, we hold Mary at a bit of a distance. Part of that is from our Reformed roots that was formed against and in contrast to Catholicism, that they wanted to make sure that Mary was not seen as high as God, to keep her in her kind of a place where she wasn't seen as an idol. There's a story told about John Knox. John Knox was the founder of the Reformed tradition in Scotland. And John Knox, when he was a young man, was kidnapped. He was kidnapped and put on a ship to be slave labor, kind of what we would call here Shanghaied. And he was put on a French ship for a good long time, maybe about 19 months. And during that trip, he was near the coast of France, and another boat came out with a statue of Mary, or as they call Our Lady. It was a chance for those people to worship a bit. It was a chance to bow down and to pray to her. And when John Knox saw it, he said, "I keep that idol away from me." And they said, "You really don't have a choice. You have to touch her and worship her." And John Knox got his hands around the idol of Our Mary and threw her into the water and said, "Let Our Lady save herself. She's light. Let her swim." You can imagine how that went. So it's no surprise that we still have some distance from Mary. And that's our loss in many ways. Those six young people got what we miss. They understood that Mary has much to teach us, this first disciple. When Mary is pictured in art, this particular scene I read today is called the Annunciation. And you've probably seen the picture. It's common in medieval or Renaissance art. And Mary, she looks very regal. She has blue royal robes, and she's alabaster skin, and her hair's golden. There's almost a halo around her, and she's very calm looking. And she's doing her daily work. Maybe she's spinning wool, or she's kneeling in front of a prayer bench. And up on the side is the angel. He looks almost as royal as Mary. And he's often holding in his hand a lily or an olive branch or a scepter, a sign of purity or peace or power. And Mary has this calm on her, like, there's the angel, and I'm ready for it. What I miss in those pictures, in that royal kind of calm, is they miss that Mary really is just a young girl. She knew little of men and little of angels. We lose the truth that Mary is just an ordinary person. I mean, she was a peasant girl, a poor girl, who probably lived in a working class kind of area of Nazareth, where there were carpenters and other people that worked with her hands. Luke doesn't say she's particularly holy or particularly humble. She is a previously anonymous person whom God has chosen to participate in this story. She was probably going about her daily work, and it probably was cleaning or cooking. If she had a moment to herself, I suspect she was thinking about Joseph, the man she was betrothed to, an arranged marriage. She didn't probably know him well. She wondered if he'd be kind to her. What would it be like going into a new family? How much would she miss living with her mother and dad? Into this ordinary life, this ordinary day, there appears a messenger of God, Gabriel, who says to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." I love the translation by Peterson that reads, "Good morning. You are beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." Whichever words, they are stunning. An ordinary girl, fancy words are said to her like this, and they are said by an angel, a messenger of God, and the scripture tells us she's perplexed. Well, that's an understatement. She is thoroughly shaken by what she hears. She wonders who that person is and what do these words mean. And what I find amazing is she doesn't say anything. She doesn't run away. She simply stays where she is and she listens some more. She hears, "Be not afraid, fear not, for you are God's favored one. You will bear a son, and he will be the Savior, the Messiah, and will come in the tradition of David." Now, did you catch that the messenger first said to her, "Be not afraid," which means she was afraid. She was scared. And that messenger is saying, don't be so afraid you don't listen. Because God has a surprise for you, and God will be with you. Be not afraid. Even if you are, don't let it overwhelm you. And what I miss from those fancy Renaissance pictures is they don't pick that up in Mary's face, that she's afraid and that she's perplexed, that she's weary of what's being said, but she's curious, that she is cautious, but she's also bold. And what I find amazing is she keeps on listening through this. Listens to this amazing thing the angel said. She doesn't run away. I think that would have been a pretty natural response. She listens. And finally, after the speech is given, she asks a question. How can this be? Just that question. How can this be? I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child like this, a child of God? If that was me or any of you, I think we'd have some other questions. Have you told Joseph? Will my parents still love me after this? What will my future be like? Are you kidding? What she said is, how can this be? See, it's a question of faith, not a question of doubt. I don't understand this, but can you tell me how it's going to happen? And that's when she hears a little bit more. She hears that this will happen by the Holy Spirit. This will be a God thing. Nothing is impossible with God, and God will be with you. She doesn't get any more details than that. What she hears is God will be with you, and what you think is impossible is possible. And then the most stunning thing of the story happens. She says yes. She says, here I am, a servant of God. Use me as you will. Yes, here I am. Use me. And I think that is just stunning. She, this ordinary person, says yes to this extraordinary assignment. She's a willing participant when she says yes. In this holy disruption of her life that she did not plan for, she probably doesn't understand. I'm sure she did not. But she said, yes, use me. It's like she is saying, I am the workshop in which God will operate. Use me. I mean, the truth is, she really didn't know what was going to happen. And it wasn't going to stop. It was going to happen anyway. But she did have a choice to say yes or no. She could say yes, or she could ignore it and try to pretend, oh, this is some kind of vision. I'm just not going to pay attention to it. She had the choice to say yes, to hold on to this unknown life that the angel held before her, or say no. And try to deny that it ever happened. And in our life, we have choices like that too. You know, you hear these statements, you can make choices with your life, but a lot of life chooses us. Where we have the power is how we choose to deal with it. We may make plans for a life, but then life chooses us. Barbara Brown Taylor says it this way. Our best planned 10-year plans are interrupted by life's own plan for us. By sudden illness and surprise babies, by aging parents and downturning economies. Terrible things happen and wonderful things happen, but seldom do we know ahead of time exactly what will happen. But like Mary, the choices for us are yes or no. Yes, I will live the life that is put before me and held out before me, or no, I will not. Yes, I will go with these unexpected events, or no, I will pretend like they did not even find them. I am caught by this picture once again, and by the faces of the six Marys and what they look like. I want to tell you, they're a little ragged around the edges. None of them match. Their headgear is all a little bit off. There is one who is almost holding the baby Jesus upside down. And their faces are a variety. One is holding that baby with reverence. One has some expectation on them. One looks stunned, and another would just like to be anywhere but there. And I think that's how it is when we experience God, too. We have all those variety of feelings. But we're invited by this first disciple, this Mary, to say yes. And that does take an amazing amount of courage, because I believe that God still calls us to do God's work, to be the bearers of God's word in the world. And we have to be brave and courageous and foolish to listen and say yes. Now, Mary gives us a good model for that. What we're reminded by in the story that God's vision, God's plan, the life that we are given comes to us in very ordinary places and in ordinary ways and in ordinary people just like you. You aren't picked because you are amazing. You're picked because God loves you and God is willing to use you. That's what it means to be favored. It doesn't mean your life is going to be easy and everything will be just beautiful from there on. It means that God will be with you. It also gives us room to be afraid. But it's admitting that we're afraid and not letting that fear lock us into a room. There is that freedom to ask questions. You know, God doesn't say no to questions. But God invites us to ask those questions with a little bit of hope in them. With, can you do this? Is it possible? And then if it sounds kind of crazy, and you're sure you can't do it, and it doesn't sound like it's a plan, or you're just too tired or too busy, that may be one to listen to. To say yes, to have some courage, to be God bearers in this world. Because God still says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.